Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's time for our WrestleMania 40 prediction show. That's right. I'm Dennis Farrell. That guy next to me, Dimitri Young. Let's just call him. Do we still call you by your catchphrase name now? Master of Ceremonies? Grandmaster.
The Grand Marshal.
Grand Marshal, not the Grand Master. What is going on? How was that, by the way?
You know what, Dennis? Going to Cincinnati for opening day. I've been there before, but as a player. So we didn't see the actual parade going down through downtown Cincinnati. You know, we would see what happens inside, what Mark Schott had for us. We had the big elephants and the horses and Shotzi 7, 8, 9, and they all defecated on the field on the first base side, which is the home side. That's our side. That's all I ever got to see. But seeing it from the outside and how this is like that's like a state holiday. I mean, unofficial, because there's no kids at school because they were all at the parade. And it went through downtown. It went down. I couldn't tell you the names of the street. I'm old and don't remember. And it went up and it went through what used to be the hood, and they got it regentrified and stuff. And it would start way back there. It was a good like 3 miles. And 45 minutes, it was constant, hey, Demir, you know, all that stuff. And it was incredible. A little bit overwhelming because there was well over 100,000 people, I was told, that were on both sides. And the way that I found out about the crowd, we had to go reverse. So we had to drive through from the end all the way to the beginning to get to our destination, just to drive it back. And there wasn't a shortage of people. That's for doggone sure. All. And when I say all, it was 100% all wearing Cincinnati Reds apparel.
Well, for this podcast, I wore the only thing Cincinnati I have, and that's my WKRP shirt. So,
oh yeah, that's Cincinnati enough.
I like to think so. Wearing your WrestleMania shirt for a WrestleMania 40 prediction show, by the way, super exciting. I think I've asked you this before, but since this is the WrestleMania prediction show, two nights of WrestleMania, so we've been told, are you down with two nights of WrestleMania? Do you want to go back to one night? Do you like it two nights? Where is Dimitri Young at with his thoughts on two nights or one night of WrestleMania?
That's two nights of chilling. Watching with your buddies. It's a weekend event, Saturday, Sunday. You know, what are most people doing on a Saturday? Is something separated. This is together. It's like a part one, part two. And I already got my weekend planned. I'm going to my buddy Chris's house, my best friend's cousins. And I'm asking to see what hors d'oeuvres I need to bring. They said a brisket.
Oh, yeah. They give you the expensive food.
Of course.
Dimitri, will you bring the filet mignon, please? That's basically it. Hey, former MLB baseball player, what bring the thickest steaks you can find. We'll get the vegetables in the salad. How about that? Is that basically how that worked out? You tell your buddy Chris, that's bull crap. That's coming from me. Bring the brisket. Do you have to cook the brisket before you bring it? No.
His dad will cook it.
Okay. Well,
yeah, this is all family, really. This is my Filipino friends, and they know how to get down. And usually I go and eat for free, but you know, I want to come bearing gifts.
Oh, you're bringing more than one brisket then, my friend.
Oh, well, most of it's coming back with me. You know, it's going to be enough for the party, and then I'm going to have some for the week.
This is going to be like a Mr. 3000 movie. Basically, you're going to have to do another year of MLB just to afford the brisket for everybody.
No, I'm doing plenty good doing hitting lessons.
All right. Well, night one, I tell you what, I miss the specialness of one night of WrestleMania. I do like the two nights. I will say this might be the first WrestleMania where they, in my opinion, they did it right, where night one sets up night two. The main event of night one impacts night two of WrestleMania. And I kind of really liked that going into it. And looking up and down the card, I'll be honest, outside of the Cody Rhodes, McIntyre, Rollins, Bloodline thing, I didn't know there were any more matches on WrestleMania this year. They've done such a great job of hyping up this main event. Maybe I'd say the best in the past 10 years of hyping up the main event for both nights. I forgot there was any other wrestling going on.
Hey, they laid it out like that. That's for sure. You know, with the whole thing because Seth Rollins' story intertwines with Cody Rhodes and the Bloodline story, which leaks over to Drew McIntyre. And then you also got Damian Priest, Money in the Bank. We don't know what's going to go on with that one at all. And then that leaks into the tag team match. And then, I mean, it just goes on and on. And like you said, some of the stories that are going on that we're not really paying attention to because of the better stories, that's going to be the ones that start out WrestleMania, and those are going to be absolute fire.
Well, without further ado, let's get down and start talking about at least night one of WrestleMania. And in no order, by the way, we don't know what the order of the card is, but we do have a very good idea of what both nights are. Let's start out with Rey Mysterio, Dragon Lee versus Santos Escobar and Dominic Mysterio, talking about Judgment Day right here. Going into this, another one that kind of crept in because I kind of forgot that Ray was back. I knew he was coming back. I've been so Bloodline focused and The Rock focused. And that's what I think most of this podcast is going to be talking about, those two things. I totally forgot about that we even have a Ray Mysterio sighting on a WrestleMania this year.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's like you have to watch Raw, you have to watch SmackDown, because what's been happening, Dominic Mysterio been talking with, you know, Legal Fantasma or whatever the name of the group is with Santos Escobar. And he's also doing Judgment Day stuff and talking with Andrade. So little Dominic, he's had a big role so far. And now having Rey Mysterio and bringing in Dragon Lee, I've been listening to other wrestling podcasts and stuff, and they've been talking about Carlito and how he might be a swerve in there. So that might be a pleasant surprise right at the beginning, you know, stir things up, you know what I'm saying? Especially if they're the first match.
All right. So predictions, Rey, Dragon Lee, Santos, Dom, what happens?
Didn't Ray beat Dom last year?
Yes.
All right, time for Dominic to get a victory.
I think so, too. And listen, Ray doesn't need this win. Ray's a Hall of Famer. Ray has already cemented his legacy in wrestling history. A win over Dom. Dom pinning Ray. This storyline can go on a little bit further. That's how I want this to end. And I want it to be a clean victory. This was what would make Dom really go above and beyond in my book. Although you know, for me, he was maybe the most improved last year in my book. He's done nothing but carry that into this year. I really want a clean victory for Dom going into whatever the next pay-per-view is and to continue the storyline with his dad.
Oh, no, that's not going to happen. Maybe the next pay-per-view will be a clean victory. This one here is going to have some Carlito stench all over it.
Okay. All right. Let's go into the next one. Bianca, Jade, Naomi versus Damage Control in a three women's tag team match. You can't put Jade and not have her go over in her first big match.
Oh, exactly. Especially how she came out last week and say Bianca and Naomi. She looked like exactly what Triple H is trying to build out of her. The wait has been so long where we almost thought she was like never going to debut or anything. But it was this was like a light simmer. And now is the water is now bubbling and boiling. I'm looking forward to watching her dominance. And I know they're going to start with Bianca first, and then Naomi first, then Bianca. They both get in there, and then Jay comes in, boom, 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 pin Dakota Kai.
Can Jade in WWE be a babyface? Because I kind of want her to be a heel. I want her to be everything that Ronda Rousey was at first, before she got, I guess, watered down.
No, that's a great point right there. And in all seriousness, I agree with you 100%. When she was in AEW, she was just like, she was that bitch, as she was called, you know? And I can see that coming out because, one, I know they want to always make that comparison with her and Bianca Belair because they're physical, dominating, beautiful Black women. But it's like she's different. She is like, she's a real powerhouse. Bianca, she's badass. Both of them are awesome. But I mean, there is a sheer difference between the two, and seeing Jade as a heel, she can really, really, and you saw how she handled Nia Jax, you know, in the Royal Rumble. So it's like, unleash her. Could she be a Paul Heyman woman? Ooh wee.
Boy, that would be great. I liked her in AEW, and I thought the buildup for her was good. The progression for her wrestling was not quite there, but she was green, thrown on TV. I don't know if anybody else could have really done that, in all honesty, male or female, be thrown into a main event scenario with just a handful of matches under your belt. Not many people can do that. And people like to knock her around on the internet for being green and not being great, but that wasn't her fault. She didn't come in and go, throw me in the main event or I don't sign. That's not on her. That's on the company. WWE did her right by training her slow build. I would, you know what, for me, if Jade came in and took out everybody, face, heel, just been dominant, stand over everybody, I would be happy with that. I think that's the Jade I want to see in the WWE.
Are you saying after they put up their hands in victory, she wound up beating the living shit out of that Naomi and Bianca, especially Bianca?
Yes.
Really hurt, like really try and cripple her?
Yes, that's
is
what
that,
I'm
saying. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. What do you think? What Jade do you want? Do you want that Jade or do you want?
No. Keep talking. I like that Jade better. I don't want no trying to talk up to the crowd type. I want her to be like she was in AEW, except polished WWE style where she's going to be like, whoa. She'll be like mainstream.
I don't want her to trust anybody. I don't want her having her raised with hand raised with two other females. I want her to take them out and them just raise her hand by herself. I want her to plant that dominant female flag in the ground. You know, here's the problem I think throughout the years with WWE, and I think they're correcting this problem very quickly. When you have one dominant female, you have nobody else on that roster to really hang with that one person. You know, now you have three or four females that really could make that female roster that much better. AEW for the longest time, I thought, had the dominant female roster. But with Jade Cargill, you have the man, Becky Lynch. You have all these other women on that roster that are champions and that are like so dominant. You don't need a Jade Cargill raising her hand with two other women and being babyface, not babyface. I want her to be dominant by herself.
That's how I see her in AEW. And I don't see coming to WWE being any different. Like, yeah, group her up with Bianca and Naomi. I love your scenario. And then at WrestleMania, after their victory, she wipes them out. And she stands alone type stuff.
It probably won't happen, though. I mean, let's be honest. Because in all reality.
I would love it. I would too. Love that.
But in all reality, you know, you have Becky Lynch, who's not a face nor a heel. You have, well, who's the girl right now that's the women's champion?
Rhea Ripley.
Rhea Ripley. Maybe a heel, but it goes both ways sometimes. Crowds cheer. So you do need some face women. You know, unfortunately, right now, Bianca isn't in the main event picture for me. I think in any other year with any other roster, sure, she would be. But now I might put her in the B category as women that I could see as champions.
Ooh, wow. How does she fall in your eyes?
Well, I put Becky Lynch above her right now. I put Ripley above her right now. I put Jade Cargill. Even though Jade hasn't done anything, Jade's presence, I put above her right now. And right there's three women that I would put Bianca. Would you put Bianca above any of those women?
No, but I mean, you can open up that A tier a little bit more.
I mean, that's a tough one because in all reality, I think Asuka deserves to be ahead of her, but she's not. I would put Bianca right now ahead of Asuka. But that's, you know, that's the problem with that slightly. You have so many great women, and this is a great problem for WWE to finally have in their women's, you know, division.
Yes, and I mean, Bianca's obviously going to be fighting with Jade Cargill. I mean, we can smell that at SummerSlam.
Boy, I hope so. Let's move on to the six-pack match challenge for the undisputed WWE Tag Team Champions, which is a mouthful, and I have zero interest in it. Anytime there's a tag team match, Dimitri, I just can't get behind it. I, you know, unless it's a tables, ladders, and chairs match, and even then, I need three special tag teams, and that's it. This just seems like way too many people. You've got Balor and Priest. You've got Johnny Gargano and Ciampa. You've got The Miz and R-Truth. You got Kingston and Woods. You got Theory and Waller, depending on what you hear on the internet, whether they're being cycled in or not. I don't know, but that's what I'm reading. And you have Bates and Dunn. Way too many things going on in this ring with way too much talent. And I get you're trying to get as many people that WrestleMania payday as possible, but this just seems like a little bit of overkill for me.
Yeah, I mean, you want to get the tag team in there. And I mean, to make it a better match would be have both title belts up there and be able to separate it. Like whoever gets the first belt.
That's how it is.
That's how it's going to be?
That's how it's going to be. If you grab one belt, you're that champion. If you grab the next belt, you're that champion.
Okay. See, that's how much I paid attention to it. I'm trying to defend it, but in all actuality, that puts a nice spin to it. I mean, it's going to be different than the singles match and, you know, maybe two or three other folks. Like the tag team match is going to have a way more interest than this. But Triple H is at least paying attention to the tag team belts. And there is a story behind it because you do have Senior Money in the Bank, Damian Priest. And I mean, I'm trying to pay attention to him in that match. And I think Miz and R-Truth, good feel-good story. They're going to get one of the belts.
You think so?
I think so. you got to have that WrestleMania moment for The Miz and for R-Truth, especially R-Truth.
Yeah, listen, you know, don't get me wrong. R-Truth deserves it. Here's what I vision. And this goes back to what was the WrestleMania in San Francisco when it was outdoors and Seth Rollins was a Money in the Bank and he lost the second, I believe, the second match or the opening match to Randy Orton, then cashed in the Money in the Bank at the end of the night. I'm wondering if you see something like that where if Damian Priest loses this match, he cashes in at the end of the night.
I say he loses if he does that.
Okay. My picks for the two champions, give me, I think you see Gargano and Ciampa win this match, at least one of the belts, just because they're great workhorses. I would love to see Kingston and Xavier walk out as the other set of champions. Not that I'm really putting a, you know, face to the show here. I love Miz and R-Truth, but I think you get some great R-Truth comedy moments in here. You know, R-Truth's afraid of heights. We know this from past bits that he's done. There's got to be a good R-Truth moment in here, but I don't think it's going to be good enough for them to walk out WWE, you know, tag team champions.
Watch. He's going to walk out with it. He hadn't had his real WrestleMania moment yet. And also, it's been a while since he had an actual title. And, I mean, he's going to probably hold on to it for a day. I mean, that has happened before, but, you know, just to have that WrestleMania moment for all the years of his hard work and seamlessly not aging and just being absolute comedy. Oh, and I didn't get the other one, and it was one of your choices, and that choice is DIY.
All right.
You know, those are Triple H guys, and I loved them when they were in NXT fighting American Alpha and fighting The Revival. Mm-hmm. Those matches there were just insane. And then their rivalry and then them both coming up. I really like Gargano and Ciampa together. And I would like that WrestleMania moment for those two guys that basically went to NXT on a handshake. And they were in that Cruiserweight Classic. And they worked their way all the way to this point. So that'll be a feel-good WrestleMania moment on top of R-Truth.
All right, WWE Intercontinental Championship match. Gunther, Sami Zayn. By the way, we'll go to Jimmy and Jey Uso here in a second, but I do want to give enough time for this match where I got to be honest. I was up until this past week excited about this match, and then they do this Sami Zayn, you know, segment where he's, you know, working out and doing all this stuff and can't he Chad Gable's helping him. I thought that was the worst thing I ever watched. I'm sorry, but that segment of trying, get up, you're tired. Sami Zayn has been in wrestling for how long? He was in a main event picture late last year, and now he's doubting himself for an Intercontinental Championship match. Now, don't get me wrong. Gunther is a workhorse. Gunther should walk out of WrestleMania as a champion. There's no way Sami Zayn has a chance in this match. But that segment, I don't know if you watched it. I think it was on Raw or SmackDown last week.
Raw.
It did not make me like Sami Zayn anymore. It made me go, if this guy can't get through a training session, what is he doing at WrestleMania wrestling for the Intercontinental Championship?
I don't know how they let that one pass to be able to record that whole thing. I don't know if they were just trying to have Chad Gable more into the scene and perhaps putting in your mind that he may backstab Sami Zayn. I don't know. But I would like to see Chad Gable in that match too. You know, make it a triple threat. Well, they had a triple threat last year with Drew McIntyre and Sheamus. And that match was incredible. And we know Sami Zayn can put on great matches. We know Gunther can put on great matches. And same with Chad Gable. But the one that would benefit most would be Chad Gable. Whether he wins or loses, I would like to see Gunther eventually say, I'm done defending this belt. And he's going to call out one of the champions on Monday Night Raw. And then there'll be a tournament for a new Intercontinental Champion.
You hit the nail right on the head for me. Gunther should not lose this belt. I wish we could go a little bit sometimes back to the old days where the Intercontinental Championship was the number one contender's belt, because that would have been a great Intercontinental versus champion match. And how many times did we get excited when we saw, you know, the Ultimate Warrior versus Hulk Hogan, Intercontinental Champion versus, you know, World Champion? I love that stuff. And I think you could really bring that back in this situation with an old school feel if done right. But Gunther should not lose it. He should vacate it.
Amen to that. Yeah. Hey, I don't want it anymore. I want Roman's belt. I want Seth Rollins or Drew McIntyre or Damian Priest, whoever walks out of WrestleMania with the belt. Cody Rhodes, any of them. Gunther.
And we'll get to that. Jimmy versus Jey Uso. I don't care. This yeet thing, I'm too old to understand what yeet is. I'm not even going to pretend to act it. I don't know. I don't have street cred anymore. I would rather see them together than facing each other here. There's no excitement for me. I love them both. But this match doesn't move my needle for me at all.
No, but I bet you it might be one of the better matches in WrestleMania. It's two brothers who were probably wrestling each other in the womb. and you know, they probably got the whole scenario mapped out in their head when they was 12, talking about what our dad Rikishi doing a stink face and dancing. And this is their opportunity. As far as the storyline is concerned, I want them back together as well. Like after the match, they hug it out or something, and they just battle it out. But it'll be Jay for me, main event Jey Uso.
I'm okay with that one. I don't think I even have a prediction. I'm going to go with Jay with you just because, but I hope you're right. I would like to see them sometime at least reunite here or get some sort of respect from each other in this match. Outside of that, this, and not because I don't like either one of them. I love Jay. I love Jimmy. I just don't have any. It doesn't move my needle to want to see them wrestle each other. I want to see them be a team. When they were together, they were so dynamic every week in and week out. And apart, doesn't do anything for me. You know, there's got to be a couple moments where one of them can go for the kill and they choose not to, just because the brother, the love scenario here. If you can draw my emotions into it, listen, I'm a sap. I love good emotions. I will still cry to this day to, you know, Shawn Michaels, Ric Flair, I love you retirement match. Still will bring tears in my eyes. So if you can give me some sort of emotional moment in this match like that, maybe I'll buy into it.
I like that.
All right. Women's World Championship on night one, Rhea Ripley, Becky Lynch. For me, Ripley, I like Becky. To me, Becky just doesn't seem like she's overcome anything to get this belt. Or, you know, I like the whole main gimmick for her. Week in, week out, she's probably the most dynamic at five tool women wrestlers right now. Maybe the only one out there. She can deliver a promo. She's got the stage presence. She can wrestle. She has me buying in on just about everything she's doing. But for some reason in this match, I don't feel like she's overcome anything to get in here. And that'll be a theme, especially when I talk about Cody a little bit later. I want this to mean something. I don't feel like it means anything if she wins this belt at WrestleMania right now.
No, not really. You know, I feel the exact same way. Normally, I'm ready to disagree with you, but the stuff that you've been saying, that resonates with me as well. It's like, all right, she earned her way to fight Rhea Ripley, but it doesn't seem like in years past, you know, like you said, overcoming something, you know. To me, it doesn't feel that way either. And I think just for that merit, Rhea Ripley should just absolutely destroy her. Not necessarily a squash match, but not a real long match either. Because of what you said, maybe she needs to get knocked down a peg like that to have to rebuild and get back up there, you know, create a new story. Because Rhea Ripley and what Triple H has done, notice most of these champions have had long reigns.
Good.
I love it.
Classic. That is classic WWE for you and I. You know, I want a year or two long champion. I don't want a champion wrestling every week on TV. A lot of people, you know what? By the way, Rhea Ripley, let's move on to The Rock, Roman Reigns, Cody, because now we're talking about long championships, Roman Reigns. People on the internet knock Roman Reigns because he only had 50 something matches last year, or, you know, or during his year long reign. That's great. I don't want my champion every week on TV wrestling. And that was a problem for several years where you had the champion wrestling every week. Then you had him wrestling the same people. Then he was in a three-man wrestling tag. I don't want that. I want my champion to feel special. We didn't see Hulk Hogan every week. And if we did, it was a tape, you know, segment, and, you know, he did something for 30 seconds and you didn't see him for until the pay-per-view. I'm okay with that wrestling.
Oh, exactly. That's how it was back in the day. You know, you didn't see the champion every week. And then if you did see him, a lot of times it wasn't a match. He was just speaking. He'll come up there, drop a mean ass 5-minute promo. And out of Dodge, and then at the end of the month, he has a title defense against some guy, and you get to watch him wrestle, and boom, 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 and then you don't see him for a couple of weeks, and he comes back. I love that. The world champion. He's supposed to be traveling around the world. He ain't supposed to be in the same place with everybody.
And you know what? And maybe I'm talking out of the other side of my cheek, but with Seth Rollins, I like the little working man gimmick he's doing too. So. But I, you know, they both feel special in their different ways. Sure, I just said that I like my champion, but also, again, you don't see Rollins wrestling all that much. I'd like to see him dial it back a little bit, but one should be the working man's championship. One should be the championship. And I don't know how you decide which one's which, but whatever they're doing, I love it.
I do, and I like the separation of the two titles, and they both mean something. And with The Rock talking about that belt that Seth Rollins have, is giving it more value because The Rock's attention is at that belt. And it's like, that belt must mean something if The Rock is talking about it, if Drew McIntyre is talking about it, CM Punk talking about it. You know, people are talking about that belt. And I like that because it gives that the belt value, and Cody Rhodes can still talk about the WWE Undisputed Universal. Is that the name of the belt?
It's all the same. Yeah, you know, we'll just call it the Rollins belt and the Reigns belt. Yeah, I think Universal is Reigns, and World Championship is Rollins. That's
and the WWE ones with Roman.
Yes, and you know what? I'll say this about The Rock. This might be the first time in 10 years I care about The Rock. I didn't care about The Rock when he was PG Rock. I didn't really care about The Rock when he showed back up and wrestled John Cena. I certainly didn't care about The Rock when he helped raise Roman Reigns' hand, what was it, before COVID, to try to get him over. But this version of The Rock has brought me back in. Oh, my gosh. Say what you will, but this version of The Rock has made me believe he can beat anybody at his age in WWE. And that's been my problem when you bring in aging superstars past their prime and put them in a main event picture, like, what was it, Goldberg several years ago.
Oh, yeah.
It's not believable that Goldberg could beat some of these guys now. But The Rock right now, today, I could believe he could be a year-long champion with the way they built him up.
Oh my God, he's much see. He's much see. I have to see all the way from his entrance, the walk down to the ring, how he controls the audience, how he gets his point across at a point where damn, and he's funny. And because for me and you, you know, we saw him back in the Attitude Era, and you said it just right. There was time where it was cool to see The Rock. There was time where it wasn't cool to see him. Right now is the best Rock I've seen. And the way that he injected himself in the main event picture and not miss a beat. And he's actually elevating everybody else while he does it too. So it's a win-win for all parties.
Now, let me ask you this. This version of The Rock versus, let's just say, the height of the Attitude Era Rock, how close is he to that? In your opinion?
He might have surpassed it.
That's very impressive. I don't know if it's the entrance in the Titantron or the people he's surrounded by, but I tell you, I might have to agree with you. His mic work is on point. He doesn't seem cartoonish. You know, at times during the Attitude Era, like him or hate him, he was a bit cartoonish. Now he just seems like a mean bastard, and I love it.
Yeah, he's a mean chairman of the board, the final boss.
Yes. Oh.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's move. And by the way, before we move on to night two, the stipulation is whoever wins this tag team match predicts the stipulation of night two's championship match. Who wins?
Obviously, it's going to be The Rock and Roman.
I agree.
There's going to be so many shenanigans and stuff going on for the next match tomorrow.
Yep.
So,
night two, yeah. Which comes into my WrestleMania theory. So I'm not going to say anything just yet. Let's hit night two, Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits versus the Final Testament, Karrion Kross, Akeem Razor, Philadelphia Street Fight. Ah, look, I'm going to go Kross because I know him. He's a friend. He's nice. That's it. Outside of that, I don't think I care.
Well, I'm going with the new Hurt Business,
okay.
Which I think there's going to be another surprise.
I hope so. And, you know, I wish it was Shelton Benjamin coming back, but, you know, unfortunately, I don't know if we'll see him back, but let's move on.
Before we move on, I'd like to see MVP and Omos join Lashley in the Street Profits.
I'm okay with that one, although I don't know if I care too much about Omos. I think they, you know, if they could relegate him to being almost a Diesel-like character where he was kind of the bodyguard for Shawn Michaels, I would care a little bit more. I mean, what's he? I think he's doing some sort of like Philadelphia eating contest, cheesesteak contest. I don't even know.
They should have called me for that one.
Dude, you've lost a lot of weight. You look good, man. You're not doing any Philadelphia cheesesteak contests.
I would. Give me the right elixir and I'll be good to go.
Oof. All right. And by the way, this podcast is brought to you by Colt 45, the right elixir. I'm glad you laughed at that. LA Knight versus AJ Styles. I tell you what, any other year, I would care about this match. I would be excited about this match. But once again, WWE has done this amazing job of turning both nights into Bloodline versus Rollins and Cody. And that just this match, unfortunately, has been washed down. I don't care. You know, I hope LA Knight gets it. He deserves a win. He needs a big win. I think when you look at these two guys and their trajectories, AJ could take a loss and still be AJ Styles. LA Knight takes a loss here. He may just be like opening SmackDown or Raw every week, and we may not care about him. I mean, I worry that WWE is 6 months after missing the boat. He was the hottest, what was it, 6 months ago, and they didn't pull the trigger on him, whether it was age or whatever. Unfortunately, I worry that they may have missed that boat for, you know, LA Knight here.
Yeah, I had that feeling as well. It was like when they was chanting his name out the building and stuff was when, and it kind of reminded me of the whole when Rusev was hot, Rusev Day, mm-hmm. and they didn't jump on that. I mean, because that was organic right there, Rusev Day. I mean, God dang, that was
Kofi
like
Kingston killer. Too.
Oh, yeah. It's like whenever they're hot and they feel that they didn't manufacture, at least in the past, you know, they let it die down when Zack Ryder way back when was hotter than Tabasco. And then they had him, you know, being a cult for Eva Torres.
Yep. Nope. I totally agree. And there's no getting it back for LA Knight, I don't think, at this point. And I like LA, former host of this podcast. I don't think they can get back the momentum he built up. Unfortunately, I think the fans will start chanting his name, but he's not going to be the hottest thing in WWE right now. And unfortunately, they brought in so many people since then, CM Punk, and I just can't see him regaining any of the momentum he's had. Hopefully, my prediction is they put him over and do the right thing, but I don't know if WWE will do that.
I say put him over, and then he has a U.S. title match on Monday against whoever wins against
that's the next match.
Next one. All right, let's go to it.
Wow, look at you with the setup. WWE United States Championship match, Logan Paul, Randy Orton, Kevin Owens. Now, I'm going to tell you, I want Logan Paul to win this match. I was not a Logan Paul guy. When he came in, I thought, what, another internet influencer dork face? I don't give a fuck. And this guy has slowly shown me he cares about the business. He's working hard. His in-ring competition has gotten so much better. I tell you what, I'm buying in. I kind of like this version of a heel that we're seeing in this new, you know, 2024. I want to see him keep going. I want to see him still stay the United States champion. I'm sorry. As Randy Orton's had his time. Randy Orton now, to me, is the guy that sets up the next guy. Kevin Owens, I think of Kevin Owens as LA Knight, kind of stuck in the middle of the show kind of guy at this point. Logan Paul, I could see Logan Paul being the champion at some point. Call me crazy.
I'm going to call you crazy, but you're not off. with Logan Paul, like, he came in, like you said, influencer, got that punchable face that one would assume, but he's jacked. He's athletic as you know what. And over the years, watching what his brother did in the boxing ring, which, you know, everybody's like, oh, come on, you know, he's just doing this. And it's like, you got to have skill to go out there and do what you're doing. You know, not that I'm saying I'm a Jake Paul fan, but you can respect his hustle. Mm-hmm. And Logan has that same hustle, and he's more athletic than his brother. And so they kind of took a backdoor way, and they used the media to get them to where they're at. I call that genius. And I can see him holding on to the belt for one more day, but he'll need like a real feud. He'll need his arch enemy, and I think that's LA Knight, and he takes the belt on Monday Night Raw. Or what show is he on? Is he on Monday Night Raw or SmackDown?
LA, I think he's on SmackDown.
And same with Logan Paul, right?
Right.
So I see that on the first SmackDown.
All right.
You know, the first SmackDown after WrestleMania, because we always talk about the first Raw after WrestleMania, the first SmackDown after WrestleMania.
I'm not mad at that. I like that. Io Sky versus Bayley. Give me Bayley. Once again, not a match that I'm really excited about. There's no major buildup. To me, it's the other women's championship match. I'm going Bayley here.
I'm going to go Bayley as well. You know, it's Bayley. You know, she's gone years without having that belt. She built up damage control, and then she got the boot. She got kicked the fuck out. And now it's like, what are you going to do now? And I see her big crowd roar.
Champion. All right. Seth Rollins, Drew McIntyre, WWF World Championship. What are you going with? I'm curious.
Ooh. Drew McIntyre is just too freaking hot right now. Yeah, I took freaking from Seth Rollins. That's how hot Drew McIntyre is. And I don't know if he signed his contract or not, but giving him that real WrestleMania moment that he didn't get to have when he won the championship from Brock because of COVID, now he's going to have a large crowd behind him. They're going to give it to him, and he's going to sign a very long, lucrative deal and be there for another 5 years for some record-setting money.
Here's the way I'm viewing this match. And follow me on this journey, right? it's Rollins in the Bloodline and McIntyre and CM Punk. There's not been much Rollins and McIntyre together. I don't feel like these two guys are wrestling each other for a championship with the way the storytelling's been gone. McIntyre comes out, runs down CM Punk. Rollins comes out. It's the Bloodline stuff. And to me, that says McIntyre is set up for something totally different after this. And maybe that's with CM Punk. I don't know. What might have brought me more into this match is if you saw McIntyre align a little bit with the Bloodline at times. There's been nothing with McIntyre and the Bloodline. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. I didn't see any of that in the storyline telling. And I think that was true. A little bit disappointing for me. I think Seth keeps the belt, goes on maybe to lose it another night to somebody else. But I wouldn't be mad if McIntyre wins it, but I just didn't see enough storytelling or building up for McIntyre in this match to make me believe he has a chance.
They did a pretty good build, but I agree with you where Seth Rollins' energy was more towards Cody and the Bloodline, and Drew has been more towards the CM Punk. But I see that, Seth Rollins been pretty banged up, and maybe it's time to give up the belt and become the challenger after he comes back, like at Survivor Series or something like that. You know, because he hasn't had a break in a long time, and we hear about all the ailments that he has. And although he hadn't wrestled too much, you know, every time you pound your body, you're doing some sort of damage. And Becky Lynch is going to be a free agent soon, and they got to weigh up all those options. So I think that he may have a little extended break.
So you're going with McIntyre. I'm going with Rollins in this match. Oh, I cannot wait for that text later in the evening where I'm like, hey, how's your champion doing now?
Maybe he wins and Damian Priest comes in. Who knows?
If Damian doesn't cash in at the Cody Roman, it's a waste for me, because here's the thing, right? I predict the Bloodline wins night one, sets up the stipulations. Now, in this match, I think you see Stone Cold even the odds. I can't see Stone Cold not showing up in this moment to help even the odds or something like that. I mean, this has Stone Cold written all over it to come out. Now, my prediction is Cody wins and Priest cashes in, and Cody kind of finishes his story, but it's almost like his dad. He'd win it, lose it immediately. And we've talked about this a million times. I don't want Cody Rhodes' story to be finished, because when it's done, what's next? And I think if he wins and then loses it due to a cash-in, his story is not really finished.
Ooh, man, you had many lonely nights to think about this, huh?
I'm a single guy. Oh, my gosh. Wow. Meet my girlfriend. Hi, how are you? Yeah.
Hey, Hannah.
Yeah. So what do you think of my prediction?
Ooh. Yeah, like I said, you had a lot of time by yourself to think about it. That is, if I was a writer, I'd be calling you for plagiarism.
Right. Mr. Show Biz Guy says Bloodline wins Saturday. Stone Cold plays. Thank you. We have another guy that agrees with me that you may see a Stone Cold sighting. There can't be. You can't have Rock in your Stone Cold.
Well, what about John Cena? Bam,
bam, bam, bam. Is that the same for you?
Well, you remember when who did they throw into the doggone truck where they had Cena and Stone Cold's face?
Okay.
Is that Cody?
Yeah.
And maybe he's the difference maker. Maybe he joins the Hollywood rock crew, since he's Hollywood himself. Or I'm just throwing out different scenarios with all the people that are in that particular match.
Dimitri Young, 12-plus-year MLV vet. multiple All-Star game, comeback player of the year. What is your prediction? I don't want to hear what you think, but what is, and by the way, Mr. Biz just said Cena is booked for Mania. So thank you, Biz. I didn't know that. I could have probably texted PD and asked him, but I didn't. But
name dropper.
You like that? Listen, when I set you up as, you know, 12-year MLB vet, multiple All-Star.
It's 13.
13 years, 12 plus. That implies 13.
13 sounds better.
Comeback player of the year, Detroit Tigers. Yeah. 3 home runs on opening day, which is this Friday. I'll be there for that, by the way. Let me ask you, what is your vision for this match?
Oh, man. Well, because the Rock and Roman wins night one, there's going to be all kind of shenanigans going on early in the match. Then there'll be a period in the middle of the match where you're going to be getting down. And then towards the end of the match, that's when we'll see the Rock, and we'll see Stone Cold. We'll see Soa Sikoa. We'll see a surprise, maybe Cena. You know, who knows? And the outcome is going to be to the effect where Cody does not finish his story. And the place is erupted with the loudest boos and pissed offness. And we're going to hear a lot of bleeps and a lot of dead silence because of all the profanity. And WrestleMania is going to win, or going to end on an absolute, it's gonna erupt with booze. That's what I would like to see. I don't want a feel good story to end on this one.
Oh, thank you for that, because I feel the same way. Now, wrestling nerd in me, I have to ask you another compared question. The scenario you set up: Cody loses, the stadium revolts. Bigger moment: Hogan turning heel at Bash at the Beach. Cody losing this match, what has the biggest fan reaction?
Oh my God, the way that they built up the finished the story, and everybody's predicting that the story is going to end at WrestleMania. It's going to be worse than when Brock Lesnar beat The Undertaker, how everybody was just shocked. But like you said, there's going to be some pissed offness with Hogan. You know, them throwing cups and I mean, they had to really watch out for themselves. Thank God they was only getting hit by cups.
It's funny that we say this, because I actually rewatched that clip. And if you go back and watch it again, and I hope you do, Mean Gene gets hit by something and he's bleeding from the nose during the interview.
Oh, yeah. I remember
that. I totally forgot about that. And I just saw that this week. And that's what made me, when you talked about how you think the fans will revolt, it made me wonder, what's going to be the bigger fan revolt? Cody not, or Hogan turning heel?
Yeah. Oh, I think Cody not winning. It might be the new, because nothing has been that drastic in a long time. So we need to replace that. And that's what Triple H has been doing, is replacing, modernizing. Yeah.
Big testament. If Triple H can pull the heartstrings of the fans like that, that cements his legacy as one of the greatest, in all honesty. I think he's done an amazing job so far. No one can argue that. You know, he's took, a product that was run by apparently a molesting 80-plus-year-old crazy rich billionaire and turned it back into a wrestling company that can do wrestling things. And there's blood, and now people are showing up on different shows. Now it's fun to watch WWE again. And I'm a guy that I love AEW. I love WWE. I love NWA. I love all wrestling. I'm not going to say I like one over the other, but if a product can keep my attention, I love that for that day.
I agree with those words, and I'm surprised I agree with you this much, but I mean, you're dead on. I like watching all the wrestling. There's no, you know, I watch this one only, that one sucks. No, it's all good, because when guys from some of those other organizations end up in WWE, you're like, where did this guy come from? Well, if you pay attention to some of these other organizations, you'll see where these people are coming from. All these indie wrestlers that end up on TNA, that end up on AEW, that go to New Japan and end up at WWE. It's like, watch people evolve. And they'll start out one way and then they come to the WWE and become a finished product.
You know, it almost, because I wasn't a tape trader. I know Lars traded tapes and I was a strictly NWA WCW guy. And then I watched, you know, Saturday night. But when a guy popped from one show to the other, I didn't know it was coming. I was generally shocked when these, you know, guys showed up with different names, Legion, Road Warriors, that kind of stuff. And, you know, so to kind of that point, yeah, I like keeping up to see where these guys bounce around, what their product is going to be or their character when they jump around to different shows. But I'm not a guy that's going to pick. Now, I have my issues with WWE. I have my issues with AEW. I have my issues with NWA and MLW. We all have our certain issues, but you know what? I try to watch as much of all the products as I can. Sometimes I watch whole shows. There are weeks I don't watch Raw. There are weeks I only catch the recap, but it doesn't mean I like one better than the other.
Now, and as you was talking, I was having a flashback to when I was growing up watching UWF, watching AWA, watching what was that, Global, and watching all these guys, like watching Global, watching the Ebony Experience, aka Harlem Heat, aka Booker T. You know, and that was where he started. And you had Marcus Alexander Bagwell is the he was the handsome stranger,
yes,
the Lightning Kid, who was the 1-2-3 kid who turned into Six, who turned into X-Pac, Sean Waltman himself. And so watching these people, and then you watch them like AJ Styles. When AJ Styles came to WWE, the people that only watched WWE were like, dude, where did this guy come from? Well, if you watch TNA from the beginning, him.
Yeah.
Five-star match, him and Christopher Daniels and Samoa Joe, all those battles over the years with AJ Styles and Kurt Angle. And I mean, AJ Styles, you know, you watch these guys, and then you watch when Drew McIntyre got released and he went down to the minor league, so to speak, and worked his way back up. And same with Cody Rhodes. And you get to witness great wrestling all over the place and a great appreciation. I watched MJF when he was in MLW with the Dynasty with Alexander Hammerstone and Richard Holiday.
Oh, I miss Hammerstone. We got to get Hammerstone on the podcast.
Oh, yeah. And he's only 33, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Makes you sense. Remember you was the one that was saying that he was old. And then I heard another podcast talking about him being old. And the guy was like, no, he's 33. He's like, oh, shit.
All right. Way to call me out. I deserve that. All right. Well, listen, that's our WrestleMania 40 prediction. If you've caught it at any point, you can go back and rewatch it on YouTube or on Fightful. That's where we are. Rate, subscribe, do all that podcast bull crappy stuff. Dimitri, what do you got coming up?
You know what? I don't have anything coming up for at least this weekend, you know, outside of the WrestleMania parties at my best friend's cousin's house, Chris, and I'm bringing brisket. So
that's right. Dimitri, yeah, the brisket young. That's right. And by the way, we do have interviews coming up. We have Ricky Morton and his son coming up in the next week or so. We have, geez, who else? Oh, EC3 coming up. So we got some NWA guys and we'll have other interviews coming up. So just throwing that out there. We do have some confirmed, but it was WrestleMania week. We took a holiday off for Easter and then we had opening day. One of us was a grand marshal. The other one wasn't. I'll let you guess which one of us was. Guys, enjoy WrestleMania. Reach out. Let us know what your predictions are because we would love to hear them. Wrestling Perspective Podcast at gmail.com is our email address. Reach out. Let us know. We want to hear it because we can't wait to talk about it next week. All right, Dimitri, I missed you, man. Welcome back.
Hey, miss you too, and I hope my predictions are right. All I know is going to be a great WrestleMania.
That's right. All right, guys, enjoy WrestleMania. We'll talk to you next week. Enjoy. Peace.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.